And this is Lena Live. I'm Lena Mirmond, continuing on my very special series of the shows, which are exclusively devoted to the dental world. I call it the true dentistry. I'm sure you remember the first show, and I'm saying you, my listeners, and my colleagues, who are also very eagerly trying to catch every piece of information, which indeed was delivered for the first time by legendary Dr. Rainey. And then after he started this parade for our knowledge, we had some other fantastic doctors, hygienists, and thinkers. And today, not only it is not an exception, but we have another very brilliant individual. And I'm saying this not just to give him a compliment, but because after learning about his life, about his very interesting career as a doctor, I came to the conclusion that he has a lot to share with us. And he has his own curves, his own, I would say, geography of activities. And on this note, I will introduce Dr. Tyler Shiner. Welcome to our show.
Oh, thank you very much, Lena. I appreciate the opportunity.
We actually appreciate the opportunity probably even more because we are, as a patients, having, frankly, quite a difficult, challenging time to find a good dentist. Sounds so trivial, sounds so simple, but it is so difficult indeed to execute in life. I like for us to have a conversation and perhaps without having a particular plan or some even strictness in our discussion, I'd like you to feel absolutely free to talk about your experiences, perhaps to get in touch with your education. I would love to know how your vision of new dentistry with new approaches taking into consideration a zone, taking into consideration the fact that we can indeed avoid crown as automatic restoration for the teeth. I like to know your point of view of biomimetic restoration. And with all of this in mind and some plus, I like to ask you first a bit of a general question. In your mind and your experience, how would you explain to us patients what is the difference between conventional dentistry and innovative alternative dentistry, which I call the true dentistry?
Oh, boy, that's a tough question to answer, but, I mean, we could talk about it for a long time. But basically, what it boils down to is the newer dental techniques, the newer technologies in that just allow a lot more conservative approach to dentistry. You don't have to remove as much tooth structure to repair a part of the tooth that's damaged. And so what that results in is more natural tooth structure being left, which is healthier for the gums and healthier for the nerve of the tooth. Also, these newer restorations in that, they have a potential to last a lifetime, unlike the conventional restorations, which are just bound by their technologies in that. They had a limited lifespan. The first restoration or filling that's placed will generally last about 15 years. The second one will last about 8 years. But the data that we're seeing from these newer biomimetic restorations is that after 10 years or so, they're holding up extremely well and have the potential to last the lifetime of the patient. Time will tell, but that's kind of what we're seeing early on.
Frankly, you summarized the most critical points. I'm trying to be in the shoes of a patient, and unfortunately, I am a chronic dental patient, now that I'm trying to create self-centered picture here, but I use this with perhaps more natural sympathy to others who unfortunately have to visit dental chair, not just for the maintenance, but sometimes for the major restoration. And you brought some very important, promising, encouraging points that there is a almost like a guarantee and something which you can enjoy and worship for many, many years. When a conventional dentistry, frankly, very often hits the blind spot, and I personally would ask a number of questions the dentist before I had privilege and such incredible opportunity to speak to Dr. Rainey and to be exposed to all this panoramic view of a totally different approach. But when I would speak to the conventional dentist, my why questions would not be really met with the definitive answers. And you already gave a quite concrete and a very persuasive, critically convincing for us opinion, which very easily really leads me to the second question. I'd like to ask you, what would be the visit in the office, for example, for the patient who will be just coming for the maintenance? And let's say for the sake of the conversation, we will divide to two groups. One, the lucky ones who just need to maintain their teeth, and the other one who unfortunately would have to face a major restoration. So let's start from the easier group. First visit to your office, what one will be expect?
Well, it's pretty routine on somebody who doesn't need a lot of dental work. It's very simple. If they're doing a good job with their oral hygiene and their teeth don't need any restoration, there's no bruxing or clenching going on to wear down their teeth at night, for example, then we tell them, good job, keep up the good work. We'd love to see your friends and family to make sure they're in the good shape, too. Thanks for coming in. That's pretty much it.
This is a lovely dream for so many. I just wanted to make sure that for someone who will like to know, join us a little later, I'm having a true privilege to speak to Dr. Tyler Scheiner, who is one of the most important dentists today in modern age. And his roots experience, and I would say inspiration, comes all the way from Vernal, Utah. Did I pronounce it correctly? Is that Vernal?
Yep, it's Vernal, Utah, yes.
And from what I remember, if we will go back before we will come to second more complicated situation with more problematic patients, since I mentioned your roots, I cannot resist and to repeat something which I think I expressed in one of our email exchanges, that I particularly admire your way of starting your practice. Your dream came true at 2008 when you opened your practice after graduated in 2007, and you really started your practice in small town when personal recommendation, contact, and truly experience with a doctor eye to eye took place, and that is just such a fabulous start, much more pure than Many commercial dentists today have, with all these fancy websites, some statistics, etc. So I felt that one of the wonderful characteristics of your practice, it's very genuine, human, and very direct. Tell us a little bit about your practice and about your studying with various institutions. I believe you've been in Baltimore. You also have a touch in some other cities. You've been in Ecuador. You worked in a VA hospital. So you had quite extensive experience as a student and also as a beginner in a dentistry. So we like to hear from you who you are.
Okay, well, great. I live and I practice in a little town called Vernal, and our one claim to fame is that we're near a national park. It's called the Dinosaur National Monument. That's where people can come and visit dinosaur bones that are still in the rock. There's a whole wall of rock where it's just filled with hundreds of different dinosaur bones, and it's made it a national park. So there are quite a few visitors nationwide that come out to see that and some other very beautiful things that we have there. So, but other than that, we're kind of out in the middle of nowhere. We're about 3 hours away from any freeways, not to mention big cities. And so I'm not easy to get to, per se, but that's where I grew up. That's where home is for me and my wife. She grew up there also. We've been married nearly 15 years, and we have 5 kids. So it's a great place to live and to work. And the people that I practice on, my patients, are friends and family and neighbors that I've known for my whole life. They're my high school basketball coaches and little league football coaches, things like that. So these are people that aren't just who write me checks so that I can pay the bills and things like that. But these are... Hello?
Dr. Shiner.
Hey, sorry, I don't know what happened. I'm on some strange phone system. What was the last thing you heard?
The last thing I heard, and this is totally fine because you created absolutely fantastic spiritual picture of where you live. And you described this beautiful park, and then you made a connection to your patients who are either your friends or family, and you feel very much at home there. And I guess that's where, unfortunately, we had this little technical break, but we are sailing along, and please continue.
Okay, so anyway, my patients are not just people in the crowd that I treat and that I get paid from, and then I go on and on to the next patient, but, you know, I have to live with these people, so I want to do the best job that I can. And one of the first courses I took was a biomimetic dentistry course that was taught by David Alleman. And from there, I went on to learn minimally invasive techniques from Dr. Rainey. And from there, I took some courses on ozone in New Jersey from Harrison Mollica. And, you know, it just kind of, you go from one good thing to the next until, you know, you feel pretty comfortable treating your patients. But at the same time, we're always looking for more. There's always more to learn. But at the same time, we try to keep travel to a minimum as to not be away from the family too much or the practice too much. So that's kind of where we're at now.
You know, listening to you, again, I just cannot stop admiring this extremely direct and genuine communication. I do understand that, obviously, you like to develop your practice and grow in a more substantial way, and this is all only logical and wonderful. In fact, we particularly appreciate the fact that you are on a business trip now, and you are from all the way of Portland. And I like to ask you, what is your vision? How do you, for example, see your next step? Because you already have a tremendous bag of goods, so to speak, and you're already practicing all this valuable technique. What is the next step?
Well, let me begin by telling why I'm in Portland. I'm actually in Portland meeting with some dental practice consultants. They help out with the business side of dentistry. I figured the first 5 years I was trying to figure out the best way to practice dentistry, and I believe we've got a good start on that. And now I'm trying to optimize the business part of my practice, because any professional office, whether it's an optometrist, a physician, a chiropractor, any of that, they kind of wear two hats. They have the doctor hat that they wear, and then they have the owner or the business hat that they have to wear. If you can't make a profit and can't keep the lights on and pay your employees, then you're not going to be able to treat patients very long. And so I, like all professionals, we don't get hardly any business training when we're in school, and yet we're expected to operate an efficient and efficient business and be a businessman. So I'm basically out here for this week with a couple of key staff members learning how to be a better businessman.
And that's, sorry, I'm jumping in. It's a very sensitive, thin line, not only in dentistry, but also just in any creative business. I found it very, very challenging to combine this ground with heaven. And I, in one sense, very sympathetic with you, because you probably have to find some kind of balance. But in the same time, I will not be looking much for the proper word and would say congratulations, because you established first yourself as a doctor, as a practitioner, as a person who deals with the people on the most personal level. And then you're adding to this a business aspect, which is absolutely a must thing to do, because we all have to eat. And obviously you have your little camp there with five children. So it is certainly a challenge. How would you characterize where the most intricate problem is to expand your business, to develop more all this wonder technique, and at the same time make a living? What is the greatest challenge?
Well, we earn a very good living. We're very fortunate in that, you know, I can practice the way I want to and still earn a good living. There's a lot of factors that play into that. But our next project that we want to take on is duplicating this practice model that we've established in Little Town, Utah, and trying to duplicate that same model both from a dental standpoint and from a business standpoint in other cities, to bring this good dentistry to more patients. And that will, you know, positively affect the communities and the patients. But at the same time, you know, dentists, they suffer from the same information overload that that everyone suffers from. I mean, we confuse information and marketing all the time. And so part of the challenges is educating dentists about these newer techniques and changing the profession that's basically been the same for 100 years. And so we see this as a way to both educate and mentor dentists and the techniques while bringing these to the patients also.
I need to read one sentence which I found connecting to what you just said on your web page, the only thing that is constant in dentistry is change. And I will ask you, when do you feel in your studying years you had this turning point? I'm asking that question because when we had our original interview with Dr. Rainey, everyone was shocked to what extent dentistry is introduced and taught in dental schools the same way for ages. I personally was a victim of such, I don't want to say word barbarian, even though I do say it, but very crude and very primitive approach, including tools, including way for diagnostic. All of this, frankly, takes place in a big city in the most progressive country in the world, which is United States. Making those points, I wanted to ask you where you felt that you, in a sense, getting these fundamentals, and yet you have to start to build your own spaceship with all these innovations, with all this different approach?
That's kind of hard to put my finger on, but the one time that I remembered, I was probably doing my residency, and that's what took place between the dental school graduation and starting my own practice. I was working at a VA hospital. They had a dental clinic there, and I was thinking, well, if I can glue this white filling onto a tooth to replace a part that's missing, why do I have to cut the whole tooth down and put something over the top of it? You know, I thought, well, if I can just glue to it, why do I have to do all this other stuff? And, you know, the answer is, well, you don't. But you have to glue that new filling onto the tooth in the right way. So if you don't do it the right way, then, you know, it'll be worse than not doing anything at all. And so I think that was the first time it really dawned on me that, you know, there's a better way to do this. And, you know, it's with anything in the world. For one example, there's irrigation, something as simple as crops. There's a lot of ranchers out by me, and they have to irrigate because it's kind of a desert area. And they used to just turn the water out onto the fields from the ditch. And some areas would get way too much water. Other areas were still dry. And just when I was a kid, this is probably only, you know, less than 30 years ago, they started with sprinklers. And now the land is sprinkled with water instead of flooded. And what that's done is it's increased yield and decreased water usage. But that's just one example of how technology has improved life in general, you know, the environment, life in general. It's created more food. But the same thing happens in dentistry and in anywhere else. Is there's innovations with new technology that are easier, faster, more economical, and they just have to be sought out and understood. And once they're understood and proven effective, then those should be implemented in whatever we're doing, whether it's dentistry or ranching or what have you.
And, of course, patients are also can elevate themselves on a different level. They can be much more proactive. One of the principal difference, I would say, returning to my very first question, what's the difference between traditional and alternative innovative approach in the dentistry? I believe it is in a different way in a different role a patient can exercise his and her awareness, where patient is becoming a almost like a partner with a doctor. I expressed the thought number of times that just facing the reality, not only with the extraordinarily costly medical care as a whole, but taking into consideration that literally our life starts from the mouth, we need to take as aggressive and very focused effort, because we, as a patient, have this privilege and opportunity to learn from the doctor like yourself, to be helped in a totally different way, to understand what is going on, what will be done. So your approach is catered to the patient's needs. And from what I can hear with this model business which you're talking about, everyone can find its own answers, its own way, and its own help. I do not want directly to ask you about this particular model business you're trying to develop, because maybe, I don't know in which legal stand you are now and if you're free to talk about this, but it sounds like a little bit of a franchise, perhaps. And I'm so glad to hear about this, because I hope maybe you will spread your wings on the East Coast. Even though it is much, much harder here in so many ways. But I'd like to ask you about this model and what exactly you're proposing to develop there.
Well, dentists face a lot of challenges these days, and particularly new dentists that are just graduating. They face those same challenges and even more. One of the things that new dentists face now that they didn't face 5, 10, even 20 years ago is the amount of student debt that they have when they graduate. A lot of dentists are graduating with like $400,000 in student loan debt. And it's very hard to start out doing dentistry, owning your own practice when you're beginning with that much debt.
And so, it's a shocking, sorry interrupting you, but this is an absolutely shocking number.
How
one can have a somewhat a semi-free mind to practice and have these bricks on your conscience, this is truly remarkable fact. We hear about this for the first time. Everyone knows that there is a crisis with the loans, but that sum of money is incredibly scary, I would say.
It is. I mean, I graduated in 2007, and I had $250,000 in student loan debt. Just this last week before I came to Portland, I was emailing back and forth with a new dentist who was emailing with Dr. Rainey, and was asking him all these questions, and Dr. Rainey, being the very nice guy that he is, was trying to answer all these questions. But he basically said, look, you're trying to learn this stuff via email. You need to come take one of our training courses in Belize where we can teach you and watch you work on people. And we're right there over your shoulder to help you out. It's the best way to learn it. And the kid said, well, I would love to, but I'm just not in a financial situation where I can do something like that. And so many young dentists are in the same boat. They would love to go out and take time away from their practice, which is extremely expensive just to be away, because you're missing out on that money you could produce. But then you also have the costs associated with paying the tuition for the course and the travel and all that. So it's expensive to take these courses. And so, you know, these new dentists are facing large debts. They have new practices that aren't that productive. They have financial roadblocks in their way. And so this is one way where we can kind of say, okay, we're going to basically invest in this new dentist, teach him all of these new techniques, provide him or her with all of these things that he that they need to practice correctly, their correct equipment, the correct techniques, and also teach them the correct business models and say, okay, in a few years, you're going to be light years ahead of where I was because I had to do this all on my own and learning it. And so this is a way to help new dentists to get up to speed with the new technology a lot quicker than what I was allowed to do. And then, you know, hopefully there's some profit in it for my partner and me later on down the road. Hopefully we recoup some of our investment into these new dentists.
You know, I'm listening to you, and I will try to be very diplomatic. The conventional dentistry is certainly the business first, and the formula which is working for them certainly serves the business. Amount of money which they need to allocate for just public relation is astronomical. And again, we are talking about PR in general being totally out of proportion, just in any area. In fact, PR very often more costly than the product itself. I am trying to be an optimist and feel that historic correction will take place. And then because people will crave to have dentists like yourself, ultimately there will be some kind of natural rejection of someone who does not prove to be a competent and helpful practitioner, and the crowd will steer towards your practice and the people in your team. But what you're describing presently, it is a huge challenge. So again, I wanted to thank you for, well, to follow your professional conviction, to be courageous, to be certainly unshakably devoted to what you think is right. And the fact that you're making already good making a solid, let's say, living makes me smile, and I'm sure many other people immediately created some hope, and they are going to feel that much more comfortable to come to already quite well-established office, which I will repeat again is in Vernal, Utah, with a great promise being in a different locations, including some other places, which I am sure you will post eventually on your new websites or whatever other forms of your PR you will choose to have. But if you have already some other locations, and to give a little preparation to our listeners, I would love to hear about them.
Okay, well, I want to say two things. Well, one thing before I get to where you can find a good dentist, Lena. But first of all, you know, most dentists are just really good guys and ladies. They just basically they don't know these techniques. If they were taught them the right way, then they would raise their level of care to meet everyone that's practicing biomedical dentistry. They just need to know those things. They need to be taught them. But the hard part is knowing where to get that information. I probably get two or three things come across my desk every day, advertising another course to go to, advertising a new product I should be using. And, you know, it's hard to sift through all that material and sift out fact from marketing. And so, you know, there's an academy called the Academy of Biomimetic Dentistry. And the sole purpose of that academy is to educate both dentists and the public. And this year we had our second conference, which was very well attended. I couldn't attend it because I was in Portland. But I spoke with the organizers this week, and they said it was very good. And so that organization is growing. The number of dentists practicing this way is growing every year. And there's a website. I'm not exactly sure what the website is, but just Google Biomimetic Dentistry, and then that academy will, the academy's website will pop up. And then there's a lot of material on there for patients to read, and where they can also locate a biomimetic dentist. So they don't have to come see me in Vernal, Utah. They don't even have to go to another office that I may open up somewhere else. But there's plenty of biomimetic dentists there in New York City, and I know all four of them, I think.
Well, so, in fact, my son and I are going to see tomorrow. Speaking about New York City, we're going to see Dr. Silver tomorrow, and one of the reasons we're going to see him. Because he's a musician, and since my son is a musician, I hope that I will enjoy deviation from dental talk to music talk. Thank you for mentioning this. This academy, actually, once our website will be ready, I'm going to have a link to that website. It's extremely informative, just what you suggested. I don't think you succeed to discourage people to come to your office, because I sense that many already packing their bag, trying to find you in your very cozy little place. Because the way you describe this, but it's certainly very helpful to know. It's a very critical information for people to know where and how to get a good information, because sometimes it's so hidden. So I did interrupt you, but I'd like you to continue on your recommendations how to find a good dentist.
Okay. Yeah, that's a great place to start, is to find a biomimetic dentist. And that is a great place for adults and even kids to go. And one thing that goes hand in hand with biomimetic dentistry is the Dr. Rainey approach to pediatric dentistry, which is using very gentle air abrasion or sandblasting on the biting surfaces of molars to get the cavities out very early on, and then sealing them up with the right type of material so that they never get cavities. The best dentistry is no dentistry at all. It's kind of our philosophy. So if there's no, you correct the disease with a minimal approach, and then hopefully those teeth never need a dental drill to touch them for their whole life. And that's the goal in our practice. The kids that grow up in our practice is to never have a dental drill touch their teeth, just have a natural teeth for their whole life. And that's a little bit different than biomimetic dentistry, but you can come in contact with, we'll call it a minimally invasive dentist, through Dr. Rainey's website, which I believe you have that info, right, Lena?
Oh, absolutely. I addressed his website a number of times, having other shows. And in fact, I believe he has two websites, but the one is more explicit and more informative. I wanted to thank you for bringing up issues with the children, and I like to make a connection to the second group of more complicated patients, which I did not follow through because we took a little detour with other issues. Let's come back to the issues which has to do with more complicated patients. Those patients didn't have that wonderful approach, care, and technique from their childhood, which you just described. And I certainly cannot avoid talking about dental implants, and I wanted also to talk, to touch on crowns, saying what we learned from previous programs, that it is critically important to prepare tissues, meaning gums, to slow down loss, bone loss, and to have certain simple but effective treatments like ozone brushing with baking soda and using some Sonicare. So I'm just showing off with my knowledge to make your answer perhaps a little easier, because we're already quite informed. I like to ask you, when, for example, patient comes with a fair amount of lost teeth for genetic reasons or whatever other reasons, how do you approach this patient who would say, well, I cannot avoid but having an implant?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think from everything that I've seen, implants are good dental treatment. It really opens the door to a lot more options for a patient that's missing a tooth. It used to be, if you're missing a tooth or a set of teeth, the only option for you was to do a bridge, which entails grinding down other teeth to put crowns on them with false teeth between them, or using a partial denture, which is actually very good treatment, but it's still something that you take in and out of the mouth, it's not permanent, or a full denture. Those used to be your three treatments for tooth loss. But dental implants now have really changed the game for people as far as giving them more options to have a healthy mouth, something that they can chew healthy foods like fruits and vegetables. It takes a lot of work to chew those types of foods. You can't do it really well with the denture. And so, you know, there's two types of implants. There's implants from titanium, and then there's also implants made out of zirconium, which are two different materials. And so if someone is opposed to titanium, then they can use a different material, which is zirconium. And so it opens up a lot more options for dental patients who may not have been as fortunate as others that, you know, have some tooth problems. And I'm right along there with a lot of dental patients. I grew up in a traditional dental office, and my dentist was a really good guy, really good person, but I have a mouth full of traditional fillings, a couple crowns, a couple root canals, so as those start to fail, I'm going to be in the same boat as a lot of other people and probably have an implant or two eventually.
Well, thank you for being so sincere, because as a patient, we always see, well, dentists are always such a lucky people. They only need to treat, but they do not really need to have worries about themselves. So I just discovered that you're just as human as many other people, and thank you for sharing this and making it so, I would say, psychologically accessible, because there are some very disturbing stories and experiences with the implants, and I'm so encouraged to hear from you also that it is indeed sometimes perhaps can be the last, but a very reliable way and long-term solution for chewing. Because that really brings into my last question regarding the dentistry itself, and that about the chewing and restoration of a proper flora in the mouth. What would be your recommendations besides ozone, besides baking soda? For example, do people need to brush teeth after each meal, or it's just a rinsing? What is your vision, and what is the routine which you share with your patients?
Everyone is different. There's no cookie cutter approach to every patient. For example, I'll see people in my office that have terrible oral hygiene, that don't go to the dentist but once every 10 years when they feel like, it's been longer than I can remember, so I'll probably go into the dentist, and yet their mouths are fine. You see nothing wrong with them except for some buildup that needs scraped off of their teeth. And then other people who go to the dentist every 3 to 6 months keep getting cavities. So, people are very different, and the health of their mouth is also very different. But, some general rules to go by is dental disease, whether it's teeth cavities in the teeth, or if it's problems with inflamed gums and periodontal disease. Those are all diseases that have to do with excess acidity in the mouth. So you tend, people who have acidic mouths tend to have more problems with tooth decay, more problems with periodontal disease. So that's where the baking soda comes into play. The baking soda buffers out the acid and makes the mouth alkaline instead of acidic. The same thing with, say, rinsing with peroxide or ozone, things like that. The same bacteria that tend to be acidic and cause disease also tend to like, they don't like oxygen. And so the peroxide and the ozone comes into play there. Basically, I want people in my practice, if they're having some problems with decay or gum disease, I like them to reduce the amount of time that any sugars in their mouth. For example, if you like soda pop, what you should do is chug a lug a whole can in about 30 seconds or 5 minutes, as opposed to sipping on it constantly throughout the day. That'll do more harm to the mouth than it will just drinking the whole thing. If you drink it all at once, then that gives your body time to buffer out the acid that's in your mouth. Whereas if you keep sipping on it, that acid's reintroduced. I think Cheryl may have mentioned something about that.
Yes, and also Carol van der Stoep mentioned a very, very similar effect of sugar. Absolutely.
And if you have kids like I do, you can't say there's no sugar allowed. Of course, kids are going to have sugar. Of course, I eat sugar. You just try to limit the amount of time that that sugar is in the mouth. Try to favor salty snacks like popcorn, chips, things like that, that aren't as acidic. And then just really impeccable oral hygiene. Use the mechanical toothbrush and think of it as brushing your gums. Don't think of it as brushing your teeth. Try to get every spot in there clean at least twice a day. And floss, those sound like very boring, same old things that the dentists tell you, but those things are still true. Nothing's changed that way.
Frankly, they are not boring at all for two reasons. First of all, they are doable. And second of all, if you do this, you're helping yourself. It's not terribly complicated. You just need to do that.
Now, there's a couple things I want to bring up too, Lena, that's very much overlooked. And that is pregnant women tend to get a lot of cavities because of, morning sickness. They're vomiting frequently, as well as heartburn. Any of the acid coming from the stomach into the mouth is a problem. And so if you're a pregnant woman, you need to be especially vigilant at taking care of your teeth. And then as people start to age and they get put on different medications, that's another time that they really need to watch their oral health very carefully, because each medication generally has dry mouth as a minor or major side effect. And then if you start adding you know, multiple medications, and that is going to be a for sure side effect of dry mouth. So those are the people, high-risk categories are people on medications, pregnant women, and, of course, kids until they reach about 20. Those are the groups that need to be the most vigilant with keeping their mouth healthy.
Fantastic advice, well-structured, and I thank you to make those points. Unfortunately, our time is coming to its final cadenza. We are talking to Dr. Tyler Shiner, who was very generous with his time, even though probably a bit more tired than he wanted to be, speaking with us from Portland, where he is in a trip regarding the dentistry. And I just wanted to squeeze last comment. I wanted to wish you, Dr. Rainey, and other dentists who are breathing the same air with you, a wonderful time in Belize. We did talk about this, and my listeners are aware about that very special, I call it Dentland, where you can experience new waves of knowledge, meet new people, and have this wonderful communication and reciprocity with Dr. Rainey. So I personally and from all of us wanted to wish you a wonderful, memorable time there. I think it's coming very soon in November. I wish I would be there from a different just points of view as an observer, but I at least wanted to make sure that we all thanking you for your mission, for making this fantastic foundation for dentistry, for young, for older, for all people who want to be helped by people like yourself. Dr. Shiner, thank you very, very much.
Hey, thank you, Lena. My pleasure. And, you know, if any listeners have questions, they're welcome to call my office. Just Google it. You'll find the phone number. And thanks so much. You're doing a really good job with all of your work in all the different areas that you're in.
Well, no, thank you. From here, it was another extremely helpful opening with a promise in something which we so sharply need. It is care for our mouth, which leads to the whole body and which makes our life with a better smile. I will let you go, Dr. Shiner, until very soon. I would not say goodbye. I just will say this is a fantastic beginning. On this note, that was your host, Lena Mirmond. I'm Lena Live. For you all who wants to learn, think, agree or disagree with me, until next time, be well.